98.1 FM. This is KCIM Carroll.
KCIM Sports presents the Pizza Ranch Saturday Morning Coaches Show with Sports Director Jeff Blankman.
Thank you very much, John, and happy Saturday morning, everybody. Jeff Blankman with you here on the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show. We've got a little bit of an abbreviated one, of course, today with just four coaches on it here this morning. But we'll talk with head coach Randy Beeson of the Carroll Tigers coming up here in just a moment. They knocked off Saydell on Thursday night to advance to a sub-state final coming up on Monday night at home against Sioux Center. We'll talk to Sean Minahan of Kemper. They rolled earlier this week over South Hardin. They'll play tonight against Roland Story over at Greene County. We'll have the broadcast for everybody tonight on Kick 106.7. We'll chat with Eric Noggle from the Carroll Boys wrestling team, wrapping up the season with Coach Noggle and wrapping up his 20-year career as the head coach for the Tigers as well. And Justin Yetmar, the Kemper girls basketball team, they got to the regional final last Saturday night. We'll recap the season with him today as well. So four fairly long interviews coming up for you here today as we begin to wind down the winter sports season. We'll be back with more of our Pizza Ranch Coaches Show. Randy Beeson, the head boys basketball coach for the Carroll Tigers, set to join us next here on KCIM. When life gets busy and schedules start shifting, figuring out meals can get a little tricky. Pizza Ranch is here to make it easy. Stop in for their buffet and enjoy all your Pizza Ranch favorites. Prefer to stay in? Check out their new carryout and delivery deals. An 8-piece chicken box for $16 or a large pizza with 16 boneless wings for just $25. Call today or order any of these offers online at PizzaRanch.com. Pizza Ranch just off Highway 30 in Carroll.
Whoa, that's good.
Back here on the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show on this Saturday morning. Of course, talking Carroll Tiger boys basketball as they head into a sub-state final on Monday night, taking on Sioux Center at home. So let's hope that gym is packed. Randy Beeson now joining us after a couple of convincing wins this week. They beat Perry on Monday, knock off Saydell on Thursday. Coach, two really good performances. I think both of them started on the defensive end for you.
Yeah, it was a good week. Defensively, we were really good the other night on Thursday, especially against Saydell. Perry, we kind of knew what we were going to get going into that one. So we did a good job of just taking care of business there. But Thursday was a good night. Really good job on the Moreno kid early on. He's a really good player, averaging 22 points a game. And Matt Collison did a really nice job on him. And then Landon Peterson, Jake Jorgensen, we kind of switched different guys on to give them a break. And they all did a really nice job. So held them to 9 points after the first quarter. Got up 18-0 in the start. Yeah. So you talk about good defense, but we were really good offensively as well.
Coach, you mentioned those three guys defensively, Jake, Mac, and of course Landon as well. How fun is it a coach to be able to go, I got three guys I can lock up on the guard court with somebody that can handle it, can jimmy around, you know, like the two guards that you faced in Perry and Saydell?
It takes a special player to care enough to want to do that.
Yep.
You know, like you kind of have to say, all right, I'm not going to worry on the offensive end as much because it's going to take some effort to deny him the basketball all the time. And, you know, we go outside back pocket on all those screens, and it takes effort to be in the right spot. So to ask those guys to do that and give up a little bit on the offensive end means a lot that those guys are willing to do that. And you talk about being a good teammate and not caring about how many points you score and all that. It's fun when you have guys that will buy in and do whatever they can to help out the team.
You mentioned the offense on Thursday night, really good as well. You jump up 18-0. Some of it started with getting some steals and getting some easy buckets, but the ball movement on the offensive end was terrific. You got three early threes, kind of struggled the rest of the half from three, but three early threes in that 18-0 run. So great ball movement though all game.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it all year of we have guys that can step up and do some nice things. And, you know, sometimes you got to give up a good shot to get a great shot. And that hasn't always happened all year.
Right.
We still have guys that can score and do some things. But again, when you're willing to be a good teammate and know that the ball will come back to you if we need to, you know, Saydell sat in that 2-3 zone. So you knew, yeah, you're probably going to have an open three after two or three passes, but it's even a better three if we can work the ball side to side and get it going inside and out. And I thought we did a really good job to start the game of making that extra pass. Trey's a really good shooter for us, had some open looks early on, and he passed it up. And one or two dribbles, found Jared. Jared kicks it out. Found Mac. Mac hit a three to start. You know, Trey ended up making a three later on after passing up a couple of easy ones that normally would be good shots for him, but we made the extra pass to get a great one. So I tell you what, it's really fun to watch when you have willing passers like that. It's really fun to watch when they really commit to the defensive end and find a way to get stops like that. And we said, you know, every possession matters when you get to this point. Like, you can't take a playoff. And I feel like two games in a row, we really committed to getting stops on the defensive end.
So with this team offensively right now, I look at that game and I'm like, you get up 18-0. Sometimes you relax. The shots don't start to fall. You relax on the defensive end. I didn't see that. I remember saying to you in the postgame interview on Thursday night, you're up 27. You still got guys diving on the floor. You still got two or three guys crashing the glass hard. Everybody's rebounding, but every shot you had two or three guys in there battling. So you got to love that kind of effort even after get up 18-0.
You know, you talk about diving on the floor for loose balls, but even on the offensive glass, right, it's easy. Shot goes up, like, all right, I'm just going to go back and play defense. I thought we did a really nice job of getting second chance opportunities.
Yep.
We didn't really talk about it much on Thursday night, but our guys did a good job of not just settling behind and working a little bit harder to get to the side and get themselves in a position to come up with an offensive rebound. And, you know, again, that's what you expect in a district game.
Right.
But you never know. You know, you challenge the guys and you push them and you expect a lot out of them in practice. And you get to games like this and you're not quite sure what you're going to get. But I loved what I saw the first round. I loved what I saw on Thursday night. So hopefully we can continue that and play well on Monday as well. But again, I mean, you talk about the hustle plays, and you said sometimes you got to give up the offense a little bit if you're going to be that guy defensively. And Mac did a really nice job with six steals on the night on Thursday, but he didn't really give up anything on the offensive end because he scored 23 points.
Yep.
I think he had four threes on the night. So shot the ball really well. And he's one of those guys that I think could do that more often.
Yep.
But we haven't needed him to do that.
Right.
And he's such a good facilitator, and he's good at creating for other people and putting people in the right spots and doing stuff. So, you know, he's always had it in him. So it's nice in big games like this for that to come out. And Trey struggled to score and make some shots, you know, late in the game. And, you know, I told him after the game, like, hey, we got another one on Monday. Like, it'll be fine. You got to keep your head up. So we have guys that can make shots. And again, when we're taking the right ones, like, I think those are going in all the time. So, you know, we haven't talked about Louie. Louie on Thursday had 10 points or had 10 rebounds. I think he ended up with 15 points as well. So, again, does a really good job around the basket. Jared against a 2-3 zone is super important from the high post spot.
Right.
He shared the basketball, had 6 assists, 10 rebounds as well, and still scored the basketball. So, again, it's nice to have 3 or 4 guys that can really put the ball in the hole, and then some guys that can really play defense, you know. So, again, hopefully we can keep that going for one more big one on Monday.
You mentioned guys that can shoot. I got to bounce back to Monday for a moment. Mason Stitz had an incredible night shooting for you. He was in Fuego there for a little while.
We see it in practice all the time.
Yeah.
You know, he actually, he's a really good shooter. Yes. And he knows when he's in the game that if he's open at all, we expect him to shoot it. Coach Tigas got him a bag of ice on Monday after the game because we thought maybe he was a little sore because I think he got a lot of threes up there in the stretches that he was in. But again, we know he can make it. He made one on Thursday night as well, and he's a really good shooter. So, again, one of those guys that puts a lot of time and comes to practice and works hard, doesn't probably get to see the amount of minutes that he'd like to see, and never complains. He's always there. He's always working hard. He's always ready. And again, you might say, well, that's to be what's expected, but that's not what happens on a lot of teams. So I can't say enough about just the group in general of showing up every day and working hard. You know, you get to this point in the season, we do some shorter practices. I don't make them stay there for 2 hours, but they've shown up every day with a willingness to keep working hard and with the edge and the hungriness of, like, this matters. And if we're not ready to go in practice, we won't be ready to go for the game. So it was really nice to see Monday we came out ready, and Thursday 18-0 start really showed that they were ready to go.
You mentioned in the postgame interview the other night, determined. this group really see. You got a lot of seniors. They haven't been there. They want there really bad. That's going to be important on Monday night against Sioux Center. But it also can't be where they're putting so much pressure on themselves. They got to want it, but come out relaxed on Monday night as well.
For sure. Again, we talked about on Thursday, like, what are you going to get, right?
Right.
It's a big game, and we've tried to put a lot of pressure on them throughout the season.
You know,
we've talked more about rankings and seedings than I've ever have before to try to get them to understand that every game's really, really important. So I have all the confidence in the world that they'll be ready to go on Monday and know that it's a big game, just like every single game that we played this year. Obviously, playing on your home court in a sub-state game is a big deal. So hopefully we'll have a good crowd like we've had all season, and those are fun games to play in, and I feel like our guys love playing at home and playing in front of their home crowd. So again, I think they understand that they don't have to be anything special. They just have to go out and play their game and play as a team, and if you play well on the defensive end as a team and you share the basketball on the offensive end, we can do some really nice things. So I expect the same on Monday.
Yeah, Raccoon River Conference has definitely got you ready. Five teams, I think, still alive out of the eight in the 16 in the sub-state games coming up on Friday night, if I got my numbers correct.
Yeah, I'm not going to question you or call you out on that at all. That sounds about right. And you're right. I mean, we've talked about that the last few years. Like, it doesn't matter who you're playing in the conference, even some of the teams that finish towards the bottom of the conference, if you're not ready to play, you're not going to win those games, especially on the road. So, I think that's prepared us. Coming out on Thursday against Seidel, who's probably not playing the same type of competition.
Right.
I think they weren't quite ready for our defensive pressure and the speed. And again, we've seen some good zone defenses in the Raccoon River, so I felt like we were prepared to handle their 2-3 zone. So hopefully we'll be ready to go on Monday. In Sioux Center, they play in a good conference as well, so they won a big game on Thursday. I'm sure they'll be ready to go, and they're saying the same things that I'm saying. So it'll be a fun one.
Well, Coach, as always, appreciate you joining us. We'll see you on Monday.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for all the coverage. Appreciate all you do.
You bet. Head coach Randy Beeson again with the Carroll Boys basketball team, back with more here on the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show. When life gets busy and schedules start shifting, figuring out meals can get a little tricky. Pizza Ranch is here to make it easy. Stop in for their buffet and enjoy all your Pizza Ranch favorites. Prefer to stay in? Check out their new carryout and delivery deals. An 8-piece chicken box for $16 or a large pizza with 16 boneless wings for just $25. Call today or order any of these offers online at pizzaranch.com. Pizza Ranch, just off Highway 30 in Carroll.
Whoa, that's good.
Back here on the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show, talking some Kemper boys basketball. Head coach Sean Minahan joining us right now. The Knights head into a sub-state final tonight with an opportunity to head down to the state tournament coming up in just over a week. They'll take on Roland Story. Coach, is always good to catch up with you. How you doing?
Doing good.
Before we get into that Roland Story matchup, you guys had a game earlier this week that you had to get through to get to tonight's matchup. You hosted South Hardin on Tuesday night. A great start to that game. Dylan Schoen was almost unstoppable early in that game. Helped to get you out to a pretty comfortable lead early. South Hardin kind of made some runs at you throughout the game, but you guys always able to hold them off. So a nice win on Tuesday night.
Yeah, Dylan set the tone right from the start on that first possession, got a steal and a layup. That was big for us. And then we were ready for them to go zone, and, we'd faced zone the last three basketball games prior going into that one, so two to three basketball games going into it. So we've gotten more and more reps against it. Guys are getting more confidence with it, and you see us, we're doing a better job of playing inside out, where I think the first time against Creston a couple weeks ago, I think we were a little 3-point happy and settling and did not want to, get the ball inside. But our guys are seeing that once we move the ball, pass the ball well, play inside out, we can get a lot of really good looks at the rim.
What do you guys like about seeing, zone defenses right now? You've seen quite a few of them, as you said, lately. How does that help you guys offensively, and how do you like to attack it?
Inside out, you have really good passers. Dylan is kind of a Swiss Army knife against it.
Yep.
you know, he does a really good job of, you know, whatever they're trying to do is to make them look wrong. Ryan's a great passer with great size. He can play inside out, but, you know, both of those guys against the zone are really lethal. You know, Tanner's came in and done a really good job filling his role, finding the easy baskets. He rebounds. All three of those guys are rebounding really well against it.
Yep.
So that's given us some advantages there with our size and athleticism. And then, you know, we got good shooters. We have not shot the ball well.
Right.
The last three games going against it, which is a little disappointing, but the encouraging part is, you know, that it continues to keep the emphasis on playing inside out. I think we went for 44 points in the paint versus Creston, and then against Manson, Northwest Webster, we actually had 68 points in the paint, and then we had 50 on Tuesday against South Hardin. So our guys are really understanding the importance of playing inside out. We're getting offensive rebounds and second chance points. And then to go with those transition points, all those things add up and are huge for us.
And I'm guessing you're anticipating that that struggles from the three-point line are going to end here soon. One of these games you got to break out.
Hey, it would be nice, right? you know, that's the. I actually had told Brock, you know, you're a better shooter than I am. So last couple of years, we've unfortunately not shot the ball well in our sub-state game, and that's cost us in the last 2 years. So hopefully this year, I let Brock run a couple of shooting drills for us and let him take the charge on things he likes to do to help him get his shot feel comfortable. And that's something I want to do with him is, you know, put him in that coaching role. So he's still very involved with our team and guys had fun with some of the stuff. And we'll see how that pays off tonight.
Well, Griffin Glenn coming back should help with that as well. He's kind of really been out for almost two straight games and probably with Brock out has been your most consistent 3-point shooter.
Yeah. Man, Griffin's a great shooter. He's shooting over 45% from three on the year. You know, and I think that light really, you know, he looked for a shot early in the season. But when Dylan was hurt in the Carroll game, you know, he didn't really click that, hey, I got to change and my role needs to grow. And I think you really saw that at halftime, the second half versus Helan. He really became a different player. He really started to look for his shot. And I told him, like, you're our best shooter. If you got good looks, you got to take them. And he really hasn't looked back from there. It's really taken off. And he's not just an athlete football player out there. He's a really good basketball player, too.
What did you guys do with South Hardin, and how were you able to kind of hold off? Because they didn't want to go the other night and go away. Every time you guys would stretch your lead, they'd kind of make a run at you. So what do you think was the difference that allowed you to kind of keep them at bay?
The fast start helped. You know, they didn't have a ton of great shooters, and we were able to take advantage of that. They were really athletic. They were strong, physical. So we did our best to try to pack it in. They did hit a couple threes. I think they hit like three threes in the fourth quarter to we'd get it to 20, and then they'd go on these little runs and they'd get us out in transition. And I think we would just get a little bit. We'd get to 20, and then we kind of take a breath and relax. And then right as we did that, they'd get down to 10, or I think they get down to like 6 or 7 a couple of times. And our guys would always respond, get it, and work its way back up to that 15 to 20 range. But it was just, you know, a consistency thing. I was a little displeased with some of our turnovers. I thought were a little bit sloppy. There was a small window there in the third quarter where we got 3-point happy, and got away from playing inside. And then once we got back to it, it was, you know, the guys did a good job of taking care of business.
You guys have seen Roland's story before just once, though, in probably the last 20 years. You remember the game. It was 2023, Coach. How different are they this year than what you saw then?
You know, I mentioned it the other night when we were talking about it after our game, and they had a Wilkins or Wilkinson kid who was leading scorer in the state for 2A that year. He was averaging like 25 points a game. They had a football player who was good. They had a guard who was really good. Not to say this team isn't good. They have another big football player post inside. They have a really athletic guard who's a good scorer, a little bit bigger, than the kid a couple years ago, but he's averaging 18 a game, which is really good. He doesn't quite look to take the game over quite as well. They have smart guards. They don't have maybe the playmaking guard that they had a couple of years ago. But they're a team that can hurt you if you're not ready for it and not locked in, because they're going to run a 2-3 defense, but it's not your lazy 2-3 where you work the ball around. They're really aggressive with it. They get a lot of steals. They average 12 steals a game, so we're going to have to take care of the basketball and be smart with our passes.
Who's going to be the most critical for you against it, do you think?
For our team?
Yeah.
It's going to be a balance. I think the biggest thing for our guys all year has just been it's not one guy looking to take over.
Yep.
It's multiple guys. Even, Dylan with his big game he had Tuesday, he had 23 in the first half, and they really adjusted. I think part of that was, if you watch that, they were really collapsing hard on Ryan, trying to take Ryan away in the first half. Which allowed for Dylan to get some great looks at the basket, some great drives and finishes. And then the second half, they're looking to take him away. And then when they went to take Dylan away, Ryan was able to find success. Jack hit some big shots for his down the stretch the second half. Tanner was a great rebounder. So I said Teddy hit a big shot for us, always plays great defense. So it's all those guys. And then, if Griffin can knock down some shots and play, maybe not 100% of what he normally is, but if he can be in that 80% range, that's going to be helpful too.
And it sounds like a pretty good day of practices here the last few days leading into tonight.
Yeah, that's our scout team's really talented. Our JV went undefeated this year, and so it's not like we're going against a team that isn't well equipped. Got a lot of really good athletes in there. Nash is kind of doing double duties for us. He's playing the role of their big guy, but then we're also trying to get him touches because we'd like to look for opportunities when we can to try to sneak him into games. But we have a really talented group of, sophomores and juniors and Kendrick Storka, freshman, who's running scout team for us that are really preparing us.
Well, Coach, looking forward to that game tonight. Congrats on the win Tuesday. Best of luck coming up later tonight, and we look forward to seeing you over there.
Yeah, appreciate it.
You bet. Again, head coach Sean Minahan again with the Kemper boys basketball team. They'll take on again Roland Story coming up tonight. We'll have that game for you right again right here on our CB Sports Network. We'll step away back with more of the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show coming up next.
It's a two-day fuel saver sale at your Carroll Hy-Vee. Today and Sunday, earn 30 cents for every $60 you spend. Rack up the fuel savings with a fuel saver sale at your Carroll Hy-Vee.
We're back here on the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show talking some Carroll Tiger boys wrestling as head coach Eric Noggle is joining us. Coach, congratulations on a great season and a nice run, of course, down at the state meet this last week. And appreciate you joining us here on this Saturday morning.
Thanks. No problem.
Coach, you guys had five guys made it down. Two of them, Gavin Holt and Quentin Polking, end up getting on the medal stand for you. Your overall thoughts on how things went down there last week at the state meet?
I thought things went well. I feel for Carson going down there and being sick and wrestling through the things that he had to, especially a senior. He's never really had it easy. He's always kind of been behind people and kind of found his way around, and that's not a way you want to go out your senior years going 0-2 at the state tournament. And I know it kind of destroyed him a little bit, but again, that's the thing about wrestling is and life is you can't control those outcomes sometimes, and you can't control the things that get thrown at you. You just got to deal with the hands that you're dealt sometimes, and play the best hand you possibly could. And he did it. He fought his rear end off and gave us a lot of hope and a lot of effort, and that's all we've ever asked for is, compete. And I told him when he was over the corner a little bit and he got himself kind of readjusted and got himself reassessed, and that's the one thing we told him is you competed, and that's all we've ever asked you to do, and nobody can question your heart and your integrity of competing when you don't feel well at the biggest stage of that you'll probably be in. So can't complain with that, but everybody else I thought did well, and there's a lot of hope for Caden getting some wins down there at the state tournament. And
yep.
Seniors kind of went out the way they wanted to, like I said, except for Carson. But, you know, I don't think they went out the way they wanted to. I think they always want more. But, you know, it was a pretty good state run.
Talk about the two guys that medaled. Gavin Holt, first trip ever down there to get on the medal stand is really cool, and it tells you what he put into it to be able to do that. And then Quentin Polking goes in as the four seed, gets into the semifinals like he's anticipated and expected to do, but just had a great meet down there, maybe until those final two matches, which were against, as everybody calls them in wrestling, horses. Those guys were really good.
Yeah. You get down there and you do, and you get matched up on how you get, and he had it set up kind of the way we thought it would be. You know, if we beat Kohler, it's a whole different story, and we're in the finals. But it didn't happen to go that way, and we ended up on that backside and ended up losing to a pretty good Centerville kid who wrestled his rear end off and kind of took it to us a little bit. And like you said, was kind of a horse, you know. So it happens, and you never know how people's minds are, what Quinn's thinking at that time. You know, you had a little more stress, a little more pressure, because now, you know, you're expected to get in that third and fourth place match. But again, to finish fifth at the state tournament and, you know, one spot away from where he was seated, that turns out pretty good. And then, like yep. you said, Gavin coming in at the 10th seed and finishing out eighth, and it shows all the hard work and effort and coachability that he had this year. And he always makes it fun and interesting with a lot of enthusiasm and excitement. So, you know, I'm proud of both. I'm proud of all the guys that made it this year and did everything. So,
Who does Gavin remind you of on the mat? Because he's so aggressive and kind of goes after things all the time. How many other wrestlers have you coached that kind of remind you of the way Gavin wrestled this year?
A lot of them. A lot of them. I kind of told the guys a few times, you know, that's that being aggressive, you know. Sometimes we're too aggressive, you know, and we've instilled aggressiveness in them in our program and things that we have done. And sometimes you got to ease that back and when to pull it back and do those things. And he got too aggressive in his match and probably could have got seventh. But again, we always tell our kids, take chances and take risk when you're at the state tournament, because you never know what's going to happen. And he took a risk and a chance and just kind of came that way. So, yeah, it reminds me of all of our guys. He's a prime example of what our program's kind of become.
You guys knew you were going to have a good team. You were quietly confident coming into the season, but you had to get guys to wait. Then you had some injuries and stuff. Gavin was out for a while. You had some health issues like everybody kind of goes through in wrestling. It just happens in wrestling rooms. But this team, by the end of the year, was something pretty special.
Yeah. It was a really special class to go out on. They gave us everything we ever asked. I mean, I couldn't ask for a better group to go out on. The seniors did everything we asked. The underclassmen just kind of followed along and gave everything that we asked. And what, like you said, we kind of knew what we had, and kind of people kind of probably underestimated what we had because we graduated so many guys before that. And, you know, is Carroll on the downfall? Is Carroll kind of sliding a little bit? You know, early in the season, we're losing teams that we probably normally wouldn't lose to or shouldn't lose to. But we just kind of sat there, and the kids kind of just did their job and knew their role, and we had some key guys step in where guys were hurt, and they gave us their best effort. And like we said, all we ever ask is that our guys compete and give the best effort that they possibly can. And I couldn't ask for a better group to go out on. I mean, they're just good kids.
Coach, as you look back at the schedule a little bit, is there a weekend tournament, some duels? What are the ones that you're going to look back 10 years from now and still be talking about with your friends and maybe with the kids when you see them running around?
They'll probably remember more than I will. I think the Bishop Heelan one was a good tournament for us. I mean, I wish we could have went to the Herb. I think that would have been a good showing for us. But to jump in during adversity and not realizing, hey, we might not have a tournament, and then to get in a tournament, and then to finish third and possibly second. And then our district tournament being a couple points away from getting second place in there, you know, we're only a few points away from being district runner-up to a really tough Humboldt team. You know, that's going to hold a special place in our heart. Tiger invite, you know, winning that one 4 years in a row and being able to do that and go and have those seniors go out and do those types of things. Every tournament's got their special little moments. Sometimes it's due to just to the wrestling, and the other ones are the coaches that are involved in the teams that are in there. Sometimes it's just the hospitality food room, you know, who's got the good food and who's going to take care of you and things like that. You remember those things, but, I think all of them are going to have a special place in our hearts and looking back and like I said, the kids will remember tournaments more than I do. Heck, they come back now and tell me things that happened in tournaments that I don't remember. So you do it this long, you kind of, things run in together. My mind has never been that good to be able to, like, this happened, this happened, this happened. Kind of one of those guys that has to sit back and listen and be like, oh, yeah, now I remember these certain things, because there's so many great memories that happen during tournaments and moments that you tend to forget until kids remind you of certain things.
Coach, you mentioned this is kind of it for you. We'll talk about that here in a moment. But this last, you came into a program that was strong, but you're leaving it, I think, in much better shape, especially these last 5 years or so. What has it been that's allowed you and your staff and these kids to kind of take Tiger Wrestling to where it's at now?
I think it was just the buy-in by everybody. I mean, it really started when we got our staff together, and our staff did a real good job. You know, they always said, if you want to be good, surround yourself with people that are better than you. So that's what I did. I grabbed staff members that I thought that knew things better than I did and would be able to benefit and help us out. And when you had Keith Weber, Marty Vanderheiden, Dan Drake, Taylor Berger, Dylan Photo, Tyler Swope, who's coaching somewhere else now, Bill Gross, who's been coaching at Kemper, and all the coaches that we've had in the past to be able to build the things that we have and do those things. And then the kids just buy into it. But I think our staff's big thing is we check the egos at the door. We, you know, there's really no hard feelings and no anything. You know, we're a bunch of guys that can get things off our chest and, you know, take things to heart, but you don't take them personally. We looked at it as a broad spectrum of how can we make this program better and how can we build this up to where we know we're capable of doing. And I think everybody just kind of trusts in everybody. And then it's the same thing on the wrestling team. You know, everybody has a role. So as coaches, everybody has a role, and some roles are bigger than others, and some roles aren't more important, but, you know, have a bigger impact on certain things. So I think everybody just kind of fed into where their strengths were, and we all just kind of did that. And then where our weaknesses were, somebody picked that strength up. So we try to keep as much weakness out of it as much as we can. And like I said, we just kind of, as coaches, we all just kind of gelled together and set egos aside and did what was best that we thought for the program and for the kids and for the community and those types of things, and put those things ahead of, you know, winning is great and everybody loves that stuff. But, you know, in the end, we're still trying to build men. We're trying to build fathers. We're trying to build sons. We're trying to build brothers. We're trying to build sisters, all those girls, things, everybody's involved that, you know, you're just trying to become a better person. I think that's what we instilled with that. And then, you know, the hard work and all the time and effort put in, and the kids bought into it and the parents bought into it. And it's really nice when you have success, those things tend to come a lot easier. You know, you don't have the kickback and the fight back, but it wasn't easy getting there, but we worked our rear ends off, and it took a long time to get there. But I think we've, like you said, left it in a pretty good spot.
Coach, I don't want to get sentimental on you here, but for wrestling
coaches... Yeah, you're going to make me cry on the radio.
I'm going to do my best not to, but...
Well, it's going to come through. So.
I know. I will say this. I know wrestling coaches. I didn't wrestle, as you know, but I've been around enough of you guys. You guys are out on the mats. Your bodies get beat up. It's tough on you guys. You've been doing this for 20 years. You're stepping away, but wrestling's always going to be a part of you. So is this easy or kind of difficult, or is it just time for you to step away?
It's just time for me to step away. It goes back to, you know, my wife and family have dedicated so much of their life to for me to be able to do this, that it's time to give back to them a little bit. And, you know, and time for me to be a dad and be around my kids. And I know they're all graduating and things, but there's still things that I want to do and be a husband. And it's just time. You know, everybody says you'll know when the time is, and you hope it's the right time, and you just kind of go with it. And my body was telling me it was time. My mind was telling me it was time. It's just, it's not that I don't love it. It's not that I'm not going to miss it. I'll be around it. And like you said, wrestling's one of those things. And again, I didn't wrestle in high school, and I didn't wrestle anywhere else. And for me to come in and say, hey, this is how wrestling's going to be at Carroll High, and this is what we're going to do, a lot of people didn't agree with it and kind of like, oh, what's this guy going to do? He doesn't know anything. But this sport teaches you a lot of things. It's individual, and it's a team sport, and it's life. It truly is. And the wrestling community supports everybody, and all the coaches and everybody that have been in the past, it's a true community. And like wrestling is I know I'm kind of going off a little bit here, but I think it's things that everybody should have to go through, or not even have to go through, that should experience, because there's nothing like it. The only person to look at is yourself, and you can only gauge yourself in that situation, and you get dealt with adversities, and you get dealt with success, and you get dealt with failures, and you do those, and it's mano a mano out there. And I think, you know, it's the oldest sport that's been around. It's the old gladiator way, and people still like to see fights and be entertained, and that's what we're trying to do, you know. But it takes a beating on you. It takes a beating on your heart. It takes a beating on your mind. It takes a beating on your body. And there's no sport that puts a higher demand on your body than the sport of wrestling, because it's crazy. Your body is a weapon, and you have to use it that way. And it's tough to battle those types of things. And you're dealing with high school kids that, you know, that aren't there yet, and they're not physically there yet. They're not mentally there yet, you know, but you're just kind of guiding them through those types of things. So, yeah, it's kind of those times. My body's taking a beat, and I'm getting old. Those guys are getting a lot stronger than me, and I don't want to be that coach that's sitting in the corner all the time and just giving instruction and things like that. I like to be the guy that likes to get hands-on people and things like that. And then when you realize your body can't do the things that it used to do, you realize you're not immortal anymore. And it's time for somebody new to come in, somebody young, and somebody take it over. And like I said, we'll all be around. We'll still be helping out and doing those types of things. But it's just time.
Coach, so one last question for you. First, thanks for everything over the years. And again, everybody knows what these kids mean. You get emotional because these kids mean so much to you. So not to ask you about any individual kids or any of that stuff, but what was the final message as you left kind of the wrestling room with this team this year, knowing that this was it?
The final message, I think, was just thank you. You know, it's just thanking them, because to ask a high school kid to show up at 6 o'clock every morning and stay till 7 o'clock and put 12-hour days in, 13-hour days, and then do it on the weekend, and the dedication that they take away from their friends and their families, and missing Thanksgivings and Christmases and New Year's Eve get-togethers, and just those moments that, you know, kind of everybody else takes for advantage of, and all those types of things, where these kids, you know, they and families make a lot of sacrifices. So the final message was thank you.
Well, Coach, I tell you what, thank you to you as well. It has been an absolute blast for the last 20 years. I'm going to miss getting a chance to chat with you every Saturday morning throughout the wrestling season. It's always been kind of a pleasure for me to get a chance to do that. So thanks for everything. I know I'll see you around. This isn't the last time I'm going to see you around. But thank you, and appreciate you joining us here today.
Yeah, thanks for everything that you have done. I want to thank everybody that supported the Carroll program for the last 20-some years. It's been awesome, and I'll leave you with this, as always and forever. Go Tigers.
Head coach Eric Noggle again with the Carroll Boys Wrestling Team. Back with more here on the Peach Ranch Coaches Show.
At Mackey Motors, growth means opportunity. And right now, we're looking for 2 full-time technicians to join our team along with Service Writer. We offer competitive pay, time off, 401k, health and life insurance, and a positive professional work environment. If you're a technician or a service writer looking for stability, great benefits, and room to grow, let's talk. Stop by Mackey Motors in Lake City or call 464-3185 for more information.
Together, let's drive. Mackey Motors in Lake City. MackeyMotors.com.
We're talking here today with Justin Yetmar. Of course, he is the head girls basketball coach with the Kemper Knights. They wrapped up a fantastic season this past week, falling to Des Moines Christian in a regional final to finish a 17-6 year where they took second place in the Hawkeye 10 Conference. Coach, as always, good to catch up with you and appreciate all the time.
Yeah, appreciate it, Jeff. Thanks for having us.
You bet, Coach. You and I were talking here during the commercial break here on the Peach Ranch Coaches Show that, you know, you saw this coming. You sat down and you had kind of broke things down during the off season and knew what kind of a special group you had, and things played out pretty close, I think, to where you felt they could.
Yeah, we had a great summer, number one, and then, you know, we brought back, you know, Elsa Tiefenthaler, Kaylee Simon, Charlotte Hackford, Livia Schenkelberg, Caitlin Yetmar, that, you know, 5 seniors that had played a lot of varsity basketball games, kind of went through, you know, some ups and downs of that. And they put in the time and effort. And then we started sprinkling in, you know, Addie Antover took huge, huge strides this offseason, and Morgan Mashing the same, and Mackenzie Yetmar put in a lot of work. And, you know, so we had 8 really competitive kids that you know, they were ready for this, and, you know, they came out swinging, and, you know, they were executing on our game plans and all the things. So really strong year for us, really set a strong culture for who we are and what we want to be as a program, and couldn't be more proud of them.
So this might be a tough question to answer, because I think you took big jumps on both sides, but did this team improve more defensively or offensively, do you think, this season?
I thought both. What I thought for us when we were at our best is when we were playing fast, the girls really executed in transition. And for example, against Des Moines Christian, you know, they were pressuring us. You know, they're a team that likes to turn teams over and, you know, uses their pressure. But for us, we were excelling in that. We were getting in transition. We were running to our spots. We were making the right reads. So I thought that was our biggest growth. And then defensively, we made some changes this year. We started in a lot of man-to-man. We sprinkled in a 1-3-1. And then towards the end of the year, we kind of went to this 2-3 trap type of style. So, they're very adaptable. They love to, you know, kind of get after it. And so we just tried to find different, I guess, game plans to allow them to execute on that and use their athleticism. So I would say both sides, but, you know, for us, we scored about 40 more points in the same amount of games versus last year. So that was a good sign of offensively we did improve.
For a coach, how fun is it to be able to change things up defensively and have a group that understands it and has the ability to adapt and figure things out and be able to make the changes that you're implementing work for you guys?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. You know, we obviously have our base principles, but when you can throw wrinkles in and, you know, in today's day and age of huddle and all the scouting everyone can do, you have to, you know, kind of think outside the box at times. So for us, while the principles remain the same, you know, just different wrinkles and different ideas, you know, they jump at it. You know, we had, you know, 8 upperclassmen that understand the game of basketball. And so, yeah, for us coaches, it was a lot of fun. You know, and it was even more fun when you'd see the girls go out and execute.
Who, and this might be multiple kids, but which kids did you feel like kind of were the ones that were, you know, the most excited about, you know, kind of figuring out those changes and did maybe the most studying on their own on like huddle?
Probably starts with Elsa. She was kind of she's a film junkie.
Yep.
You know, we'd go through scout and, you know, she knew basically all 5. But really, you know, really all 8 of our main players, they knew scouts, they, you know, watch film, they were prepared when we'd come in to put in a game plan. And again, that makes it a lot easier on a coach. And you can't necessarily teach that. It's just the ownership on the kids' behalf. And, you know, they all did that. You know, Charlotte Hackford took huge steps this year and,
yep,
and kind of understanding personnel, understanding her strengths, those kinds of things. So again, all 8, I would say, equally bought in, and, you know, they kind of held each other accountable throughout the year as well.
You mentioned Charlotte. I really saw the improvement in her with her ability to get to the rim as the season went on and just her aggressiveness going to the hole.
Yeah, it was just confidence. You know, she's a year older. She was stronger. We all know she can really shoot the basketball from 3. So for her, it was adding that extra layer. And, you know, it just came with confidence. And she knew she could do it. We knew she could do it. So, yeah, she was a huge part of our success. You know, just adding that, you know, for us, you know, adding that 3rd and 4th and 5th type of score, you know, for us, that was huge for us, and it allowed us to win a lot of basketball games where, you know, I remember down at Atlantic, Kinsey comes in and hits three threes, you know, and, you know, the next night Morgan has 7 points, and, you know, Elsa and Kaylee and Charlotte and Addie are kind of always going to be, you know, anywhere from 8 to 15 points. And it was just finding that fifth, sixth score. So it was fun. Each night you just kind of never knew who was going to step up, and
yep,
they all did at various times.
Coach, what changed or what sparked the run? You guys, hate to go back to a tough spot, but you end up kind of losing to Carlisle right before the break, and then you had that kind of disastrous trip up to Heelan to kind of open the second half of the season. But after that loss, you kind of wondered, okay, this team just took a bad loss. How are they going to react? You went on a tear after that and just kept winning basketball game after basketball game after basketball game.
Yeah, it's the kids are resilient. They knew after Carlisle, we thought, you know, we competed a lot better in the second half.
Yep.
And then we went up to Heelan, and, you know, they really took it to us, which they're really, really good. But it showed us we have to get better, and we can't play on our heels, which we did that night. And from there on, you know, our approach was, we're the aggressor. We're going to get after it. You know, if we miss a shot, oh, well, we should get back on defense, that kind of mentality. And like I say, the number one thing is these kids were just resilient.
Right.
And, you know, they had short memories, which good, bad, or indifferent, you know, they just flush it and move on to the next game, next play, whatever it is. And, you know, I would say that was probably one of our biggest growth versus last season was, you know, we didn't let things fester and, you know, boil up. We'd flush it, move on, make the next play.
Coach, you had a lot of really nice wins this year. You beat some teams that played deep into the bowl season. Earlham, I know, just got edged out by Hinton in a regional final, but you rally back to beat them 57-54. You knocked off a good Gilbert team that plays in an extremely tough Raccoon River Conference. You know, you had some other nice wins this year as well over Van Meter here in the postseason. So what games jump out to you as maybe not even just the best win, but the games where this team played their best?
You know, I thought senior night against Atlantic was probably our most complete game. We were just rolling that night. And then there was a stretch where we went Clarinda, Gilbert, and Earlham in a pretty short time period, where we were down at half in all of those.
Yep.
And the kids just found a way to win. You know, they just, Earlham, you know, I kind of had a moment where, you know, I took all the starters out, and, you know, it was kind of one of those, how are we going to respond to that? And, you know, they came back in, had a great comeback, won that game against a really, really good team. So I think there was that stretch, you know, Clarinda, Gilbert, Earlham, where, you know, we just found ways, even when we weren't at our best, just found ways to get wins.
You mentioned some of the seniors on this group, and it's a pretty special group. You and I were chatting about that during the commercial break. I'll run through the list here real quick. Kaylee Simons, Elsa Tiefenthaler, Caitlin Yetmar, Charlotte Hackford, and Olivia Schinkelberg. You mentioned all of those earlier. This is a really special group to you, and I think you mentioned it earlier. They kind of set the tempo and the tone of what this program can be in the future.
Yeah, I could not say enough positives about these five seniors. You know, tough on me. I've coached them since they were in fourth grade. Always a competitive group, always a group that showed up wanting to get better. And, you know, just more than that, they were just great kids. They're great students. They're great overall athletes. They're just fun to be around. And on top of it, they're pretty good at basketball. So we're going to miss those five seniors a ton, but for them, you know, and I told them after the Des Moines Christian game is, you know, you guys have set the tone. You showed the resiliency. You did it the right way, and you can be proud of that and, you know, hold your head high. you know, knowing you just, you left it in a better place than where you found it.
Absolutely. You've got some nice pieces to build around. Kenzie Yetmar, of course, helped out some this year off of the bench. Addie Antover coming back. Morgan Mashing, and I want to talk a little bit about her with her defensive abilities. And then Millie Antover kind of saw some more playing time as the season went on as a freshman. But you've got a great group to kind of start with there. And I want to bring up, I call her kind of a bulldog in a way. Morgan's about as good a defensive player that buys in on the defensive end as I've seen.
Yeah, we got three juniors that will be seniors that, you know, they have made huge strides.
Yep.
And they put in a lot of work. And, you know, we're going to lean on them. You know, our goal is not to go backwards at all. It's to continue to go forwards. And you're right. Morgan can guard really just about anyone you tell her to. And as a coach, that's a huge luxury of, you know, we see a lot of really good basketball players. For her to just take on those assignments and make it really hard for 32 minutes is a huge bonus for us. And, you know, McKenzie's, you know, going to have a much bigger role with,
yep,
you know, handling the ball a lot better or a lot more. And, you know, she can really shoot it. For her, it's just continue to grow in that confidence, and her abilities are, you know, endless. And Addie Antover, I think we saw huge growth. And, you know, she's about 6 foot, can handle the basketball, can shoot it. She's a really tough matchup. And, you know, I keep saying she just kind of just keeps chipping away at her potential. And, you know, she's ready for kind of those next steps. And you're right, Millie Antover gave us great minutes later in the year. She took, you know, a lot of big steps growth-wise. And then, you know, Lily Peterson can shoot it. Cassie Lorman, you know, we saw it in the JV games where she's really, really talented. Georgia Prescott is, you know, we kind of want to mold her into that Morgan mold of, you know, use your athleticism,
yep,
go guard. And then, you know, Marissa Antover, you know, she's 6'2" and she works really hard and puts in a lot of time. So, you know, the nice part for us is the cupboard isn't empty or bare as much as we'll miss those five seniors. You know, we're just going to have to put in a lot of work this summer. And like I say, we don't want to take steps backwards. We want to keep going forwards.
Coach, what do you do in the off season? What do you want the girls to work on then to keep that program moving forward?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of the same that we've done in the past. It's, you know, the girls will get shots up. You know, they'll kind of have their downtime and play their spring sports, but, you know, they'll start getting in the gym, getting some shots up. And then, you know, summertime we'll do our open gyms and we'll go to a couple of team camps and, you know, start to blend in the eighth grade that's going to be freshmen. We're going to have a big group of them, which we're really excited about. So, you know, it's just kind of blend these groups together again. You know, try to create the same chemistry and, you know, the culture within the team that we had this year. And, you know, like I say, just kind of continue to work on skills and introduce those younger girls to our theories and our system, and we'll be back in November, you know, really soon.
And it will come fast, Coach. I tell you what, congratulations on an outstanding season. We truly appreciate the fact that you get us results every single night and you make it easy for us to be able to do what we do, all of the interviews that you give us throughout the season. So thank you for everything this year. Congratulations on a great season, and we're looking forward to next fall already, or next winter.
Yeah, no, we appreciate all the coverage, Jeff, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, you know, Coach Daniel and Coach Snyder, who are along with this team all year, unsung heroes of our team. So I want to give them a shout out. And again, thank you for you and your staff and everything you do to cover our team and the girls. And we truly appreciate it.
You bet. Head coach again, Justin Yetmar, joining us here on the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show. We're back right after this.
When life gets busy and schedules start shifting, figuring out meals can get a little tricky. Pizza Ranch is here to make it easy. Stop in for their buffet and enjoy all your Pizza Ranch favorites. Prefer to stay in? Check out their new carryout and delivery deals. An 8-piece chicken box for $16 or a large pizza with 16 boneless wings for just $25. Call today or order any of these offers online at pizzaranch.com. Pizza Ranch, just off Highway 30 in Carroll.
Whoa, that's good.
Time to wind up our Pizza Ranch at Coach's Show for this Saturday morning. Of course, we've still got some sub-state boys basketball going on for you tonight. Kemper taking on Roland Story over at Jefferson tonight at Green County High School. I'll have the broadcast on Kick 106.7. Class 2A sub-state 2 coming up for you tonight. Pregame coverage around 6:40 tonight with the tip-off of that game at 7 o'clock. And Nick Brinks heads up to Sioux City East tonight as Coon Rapids Bear taking on Boyden Hall. That'll be in Class 1A sub-state 8. And again, that one underway earlier tonight, pregame at around 5:45 with the tip-off of that game on KKRL tonight at 6 o'clock. And again, winners advance to the state tournament. Now, I want to thank Randy Beeson, Sean Minahan, Eric Nagel, and Justin Yetmar for joining me here this morning. Thanks to you all for joining us here. This is our last full edition of the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show. We'll talk with Randy Beeson and Sean Minahan coming up next week between 8 and about 8:30 next week and talk to them about hopefully trips down to the state tournament. But again, this is our last full Pizza Ranch Coaches Show for this winter sports season. So again, thanks to everybody that has tuned in all fall and winter sports.